Amen. Church, let us pray before we get started this evening. Dear awesome Father, we come to you now just thankful for what you're doing here, not only at the Gathering Church, Lord, but in the lives of Luke, Courtney, and Harper. Lord, you are you have called your people to go into the nations, Lord, and we are so thankful to be a part of that. Lord, it is difficult to see them go, but we are so thankful for their faithfulness and thankful that you are a God who has equipped them and will be continuing to equip them, Lord. And I pray that we may be a church that can take part in that and sharing this commission. Lord, we love you, and we just pray that tonight would be edifying to one another, that tonight would be beneficial for Luke and Courtney and the church. Lord, that ultimately you would receive the glory, not just from tonight, but from our lives and from the work Luke and Courtney are going to be doing now and continuing forward in Nicaragua. We love you so much, Lord. We just pray that you would receive the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, church, please stand and sing with us as we sing Be Thou My Vision. And let that be our prayer for Luke and Courtney, that they would leave seeking to bring glory to our awesome God, for he is worthy in equipping the church. Let's sing together.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, say
Be thou my wisdom.
Be thou my wisdom. Thou my true word. I give with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son.
Riches we heed not,
riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only are first in my heart. King of heaven, my treasure thou art.
Sing, O God, be my everything.
O God, be my everything. Be my delight. Be Jesus, my glory, my source. My glory, my soul satisfied. High King of heaven, after victory won, may I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Let us sing, O God, be my everything.
O God, be my everything. so satisfied.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this awesome occasion that we can gather together again today to worship you. And Father, this is about you. And it's also about your fruit that you have brought forth in Luke and Courtney and in this church. And so we thank you for it. We commit it to you. And we ask that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Welcome this evening. Thank you for being here. And thank you for your support, really, not only of what God is doing here at the gathering, but more importantly in Luke and Courtney's life. It's been quite a journey these many years to watch what God has done in this awesome couple and to see what God is going to be faithful to do to finish that work as well that he has started. We're going to look at a text this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and my responsibility this evening is to really bring a challenge, a message to the church. And following that, we'll have some more music, and then Pastor Kaysen will come and give a message to Luke and Courtney as a challenge as they are sent out by us as a church. And then we'll have a time of prayer, and I'll do some introduction before we get into that time of the service, and we'll end in some worship time and a fellowship to follow. So thank you again for being here, church, and also friends and family, that you can be here to worship with us. It really is a worship service, one that the gathering has not done yet, a commissioning service, and how awesome it is. I've been to them before, but we haven't done one here, and how awesome it is to see what God has done. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 with me. This is God's word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and in Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that you need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is God's word. Church, it's a great joy this evening to have a service such as this for mainly three reasons. First, that this church has been committed to and is committed to what God is committed to, the proclamation of the gospel and disciple making everywhere that God would open doors. We have a living example here of a couple who are putting Christ before themselves. It is a living sermon. Only Christ could have taught Luke and Courtney this. It's only Christ that really deserves the glory. And this is actually the only reason that the Petersons are really going to Nicaragua. It is not for their own fame or for their own step or for their own purposes. It is God's purpose. And thirdly, God grows people and uses them for his glory and for his purposes. I've had the privilege of not just seeing Luke and Courtney do this and Harper as well in the mix, but I've watched Luke grow as a disciple of Jesus for almost a decade. In fact, an email dated August 12, 2007, at 8:15 p.m., exactly 9.5 years ago to tonight, Luke wrote an email to me explaining his desire and response to the Lord to step out of mediocrity and all that God wanted for his life. Luke truly surrendered. In fact, he had a t-shirt that he wore for many years that said surrendered on it. And Luke has never looked back from this point. He received the gospel by faith. He repented of his sin. I saw him grow at first in his walk with the Lord. He received the gospel and walked into what God had for him. And really, God was calling him into ministry. He repented and continued to follow Christ through his college years and continued to walk in faith in what God had for him. Led him to Luke, or led him to Courtney, and then led them, of course, in parenting Harper in the last few years. This truly, as I said earlier, is a living sermon to us. We're watching God work in human lives. And of course, if we spend time with each other, we see that God is doing this in all of us. Well, imperfection, struggle, sweat, and tears have led to this day. God has done a great work in Luke and in Courtney through college, through marriage, through fatherhood, and through the pastorate. And so I can say, as a fellow pastor and friend, Luke has always desired to encourage people to be on mission with Jesus. In fact, he would not want us to leave here tonight with anything but Jesus first in his heart. He could care less if we are the first in his heart, but he would want us to walk out of here knowing that Jesus is most important. He is now a living example as they walk out to their obedience in Christ to Nicaragua as disciples of Jesus. Here in Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is doing the very same thing in speaking to the church, and this is the challenge to encourage the Thessalonians at that time, what was a difficult time in the early church. Paul had planted the church in Thessalonica after much opposition in evangelizing Jews that were his focus. Who parked their car right there? To learn more about this, we see that even in Acts chapter 17, that when Paul planted the church at Thessalonica, God actually used this hardship to actually bring more disciples. In fact, a man that was accused as a disciple was a man named Jason. And turning the world upside down was what him and the other apostles were accused of. Isn't this a fitting accusation for missionaries who put Christ first? The self-absorbed culture of the Roman Empire that eventually led to the demise of it pulled many Christians also in the first century. In fact, it's not far off from our own American culture, where we're absorbed with all the things that can distract us, and we're not responding as we are called to as far as faith in Jesus and being willing to not just go to the ends of the earth, but to actually disciple people and have our lives completely focused around the gospel of Jesus. Many, during Paul's day, were becoming idle, hoping that Jesus would return any day. Now, there's nothing wrong with hoping that Jesus returns, but it is a problem to be idle. So while encouraging their hope in Christ and his second coming, he also desired to spur them on to do business until he returned. Gospel business. It is the job of every local church to be about the gospel and to focus on the gospel. Here in this text, Paul mentions three main things for God that God had reminded him of, and mentioning them in prayer, we see in verse 1 and 2, and remembering them before God. If you look at verse 3, notice it says here that their work of faith, labor of love, and steadfast hope. This ought to be the hope of the local congregation in the focus of the gospel and ultimately in making the gospel known to the nations. This evening, as we commission Luke and Courtney to go and to make disciples in Nicaragua, we send them out not on their own, but really as an extension of this local body, of this area, of what God is doing in this church. In fact, we're participating in their going. Not just mere visits or sending supplies, but rather we are engaged in gospel ministry together, despite location differences. As we consider who we are as a church and what we are called to, listen to what Paul commands the church at Thessalonica and what he commands them in, or commends them rather, in doing and doing well. Three things. First of all, we see that their reception of God's word was what they heard. And then secondly, the report of their example. And finally, the resolve in waiting for Jesus to return. Paul says to the Thessalonians that he first remembers the reception of the word. Look at verse 4. He says they're loved by God, that he chose them, Again, what proof is it that they chose, that he chose them? Look at verse 5. They received the gospel that came in word. It has to be communicated. It came in power. God uses the communicator of the gospel. And in the Holy Spirit, God does it. And it also came with full conviction. Luke and Courtney would be miserable tonight if the gospel was not their main focus. They're about to be sent out as missionaries, and Jesus isn't number one. I can't imagine what they would be feeling. I can't imagine what distractions would be coming to their mind and the emotions of this night, even with a heart that is focused. And so it came with full conviction. And so, church, we send out missionaries because it's God's plan for other people to join in the worship that we are doing tonight. Have you ever thought about missions that way? That missions exist because people are not worshiping Jesus? They're not understanding the glory of God that we have come to understand in his work amongst us. And there's people who are truly not enjoying him. And so we're called to go. And he could have chose angels to go. He could choose to herald his news in some other way. But his word tells us we are to go and make disciples. He wants to communicate his gospel through people, and so we send missionaries. Missionaries communicate the gospel. God does it through them, and those who respond to the gospel follow in full conviction as missionaries have communicated it, and so the multiplying effect starts over again. Notice the other qualities of those who received the gospel. Look at verse 6. They became imitators of those who shared the gospel with them, and the Lord, more importantly. They begin to imitate the Lord. Notice that they received the gospel in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice a contrast here. There's joy while there's affliction. And of course, we don't pray that Luke and Courtney would experience affliction as they go, but there is some affliction in not living in your hometown. There's some affliction in living around a language you don't completely understand. There's affliction in living in a third world nation. And there's affliction in meeting the challenges of everyday life as you are seeking to put Christ first. Yet the gospel goes forth. And it goes forth with joy. So, this led to the greater example of other believers in Macedonia and Achaia hearing about these things. And so not only did they receive the gospel, but they are now bearers of that gospel. And I know Luke's heart because in all the many hours that have gone up to this day, we have talked about the multiplying effect that all of our work has, whether here or there. God works. So, it's the reception of God's word, and secondly, the report. Look at verse 7. The report goes out of their faith to these other cities, not just Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere, verse 8. And so their testimony is also of the same report. They turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. A church on mission turns from idolatry. A church on mission turns in full faith to what God is going to do. Church, anything that seeks to direct our attention away from Christ and his call in our lives is idolatry. I know that if Luke were to share tonight, his heart would be that we would put Christ first and we would put Christ in all of our focal points in what we are doing in our and with our lives. Is it any wonder that even the Apostle John ends his first epistle encouraging believers to keep themselves from idols? We cannot serve Christ and idols. It's one or the other. So may God use us, church, as he did the church at Thessalonica. May he speak of our faith and our response to the gospel, that and may he speak through us the great gospel, not just here in Ash, but in Nicaragua or wherever else that he would choose to open doors for the gospel. Isn't serving the Lord exciting? Isn't it awesome to see what God can do in his time and his way by his Spirit through a simple couple saying, Jesus, be Jesus in me. Jesus, be glorified in me. Jesus, be glorified in us and in our lives. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Now take us and use us for your glory. So not only does Paul remember their reception for the Thessalonians, but he also remembers the report of their faith. And then lastly, he remembers their resolve. And it's very interesting here, a very key point that I don't want us to miss, is that their resolve was in waiting for the return of Jesus. can't think of something more exciting than to know that Jesus is coming back. And we can know that we have a resolve that Jesus is going to return. And so you see here, as the last verse in verse 10, it says, "And wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come." Do you know Christ tonight? What a perfect night to put your trust in him, to say, "Lord, you're my number one. Lord, other things have crept into my life in idolatry. I repent of those, and I want to put you first. I want my resolve to be focused on you. I want to wait on you, not with a sitting around waiting, but an active waiting, that we go on business and on mission with Jesus, because the time is not yet up. There are many that God is bringing into his flock, as John 10 says. Are you receptive to God's word tonight, church? Are you hearing what he has to say? Are you responding to him? And also, is the report of what we do here tonight and how we live our lives this day going to be heard and reverberated throughout generations to come, because we have put faith in Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that you give each local church to be heralds of the gospel. Thank you for missionaries that you raise up for the gospel and to send to the nations. Lord, I want to thank you for Luke and Courtney and their example, their living epistles of what it means to follow you. And so, Father, thank you for them. I know that you desire to make yourself known through them, and you have. And so, Lord, would you continue this work and use us as a church, challenge us to not only get behind them 100%, but to be an extension of what you're doing around the world. And Father, that you would help us as a church to multiply the same effect. May you send out, may you find us able to be sent wherever you would have us. Send more missionaries, Lord, we pray. Cause more to surrender as Luke and Courtney have. Oh Lord, may you do your work and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, church. Let us continue worshiping our Lord as we understand why Luke and Courtney are going out there. They're going because he is great and he is worthy of all praise and all adoration. If you would please stand and sing with us. Understand with what we are about to sing, that all the earth will shout his praise, that our hearts will cry and these bones will sing the greatness of our God. This is the motivation for why they leave. And it is not just a sad departure, but we are understanding they are going where the Lord is leading them. So let this be our cry as well. Let us sing together with one voice and all the earth will shout your praise.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
One more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Sing, it's your breath.
It's your breath.
Would hear. And I just pray for the faithfulness of not just Luke and Courtney here, but also for the faithfulness of our congregation. Lord, we understand that though we are sending out and thus we are losing two or three of the great joys that we have here, let us understand that the Lord is still using us in his great work, and we are so blessed that he would even look upon us. Let us just pray for the faithfulness.
Father, we thank you for this time together as your people. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom in giving birth to missionaries here at the gathering. Lord, we thank you for the mercy that this is not only to us and to the people of Nicaragua, where Luke and Courtney and Harper will be going now, Lord, for decades and for centuries from now, people that you will use them to share your gospel with, the impact that that will make. Lord, we cannot trace that scarlet thread through history, and so we entrust it to you. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our time, that you would bless this time specifically, as we as a church, me as the spokesman, give Luke and Courtney the charge of gospel ministry for their trip to Nicaragua. And so, Lord, we ask you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to shift a little bit here because I'm not talking to everyone. I'm talking to Luke and Courtney specifically. It's my great privilege, Luke and Courtney, to give you this charge as our church is sending you out. It's been my family's great privilege to get to know you over the last 2 years and to see how the Lord has knit our family's hearts together. And while there are many things that we could talk about during this charge, I want to focus our short time on just 3 points One, the fact that you were being sent out. The second point is that you were being sent out with a particular type of ministry. And the third point is some things to remember while you were in Nicaragua. So one of the first things that I want to point out to you, Luke and Courtney, and to the family of Luke and Courtney that is here with us tonight, is that this charge and commissioning that you are receiving is not from me. It's from this church, from the gathering church. You are being sent out by this church, and this church is affirming God's call on your life and His equipping you for this ministry that you will be doing in Nicaragua. Let's look at Acts chapter 13 together, just the first five verses. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menean, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. So a few things about this passage. First, Barnabas and Saul, who we know as Paul, were worshiping God in the context of the local church. You have been worshiping God in the context of this local church, the gathering. Saul, Paul, and Barnabas were not off doing their own thing and making decisions of their own accord outside of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. And Luke and Courtney, this is one of the reasons why you should be so confident in your desires and in your plans to go to Nicaragua. It's because you are not making this decision by yourself. You are not making it as Lone Ranger Christians. You are your brothers and sisters in Christ here at the gathering that have been walking with you, that have been observing your life and witnessing the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your lives, are behind you. We support you. We agree with you that this is the ministry that you have been called to. The second thing, the same Holy Spirit used the church at Antioch to set apart Paul and Barnabas for this work, supporting them in the work and sending them out to the work. The local church is the pillar and buttress of God's truth. We have a responsibility as a church to be a kind of embassy for God's kingdom. And acting in that manner, we are together looking at your lives, Luke and Courtney, and the desires that God has given you, and we are saying to you, yes. Yes, we affirm your faith in Christ. We affirm God's call on your lives to spread the gospel in Nicaragua. We affirm that you are qualified for this task. We affirm that you are trustworthy for this task to take the gospel of Jesus Christ with you to Nicaragua and help see that the work of the local churches there are multiplied. And we promise to support you in this ministry. The third thing, when Paul and Barnabas left, they engaged in the work for which they were sent out. Luke and Courtney, the gathering church is charging you to be faithful ambassadors for Christ in Nicaragua, to not seek pragmatic systems or programs that may produce quick results, but instead to proclaim God's word and entrust the people you meet in Nicaragua to His sovereign providence in sending you there. We don't want you to only be thinking about how Nicaragua can change in the next 2 years, but we want you to be thinking about how Nicaragua will be different 100 years from now, long after you are dead and gone, because of the gospel ministry that you labored in there. And this leads us to our second point. You are being sent out with a particular type of ministry. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read starting in verse 18 together. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Luke and Courtney, the gathering church is sending you to Nicaragua to perform a particular type of ministry. And while there are many good things that you could do while you are in Nicaragua, we are not sending you there to relieve their poverty or to transform the area that you find yourself in into middle class America. We are sending you to Nicaragua to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach him crucified and everything that that means. Solving the social ills of Nicaragua does not have the power of God for salvation, but the gospel does. And that's what we are sending you to do. Preach the gospel and understand that it will be foolishness to those who are perishing, not only there in Nicaragua, but also here to many in the States who will question, why aren't you doing things in such a way that will produce quick, artificial results? But God has not called you, and the gathering is not sending you to do things that the world thinks wise, because God has not chosen the world's wisdom to be the means by which he saves his people. God's people are not saved by being given the material things of this world. God's people are saved by looking beyond the material things of this world to the eternal. Focus your time in Nicaragua not with the thought of what these people will eat or drink tonight or tomorrow or years from now, but focus your time with the thought of the people that you meet standing one day before a holy God and having to give an account for their lives. Make sure that the people of Nicaragua never boast in Luke and Courtney and your time there and the prosperity that you may have brought from America. But do your best to see that when you leave, that they boast in the Lord only. Point three, some things to remember during your time in Nicaragua. As I finish giving you this charge for your time in Nicaragua, I want to quickly give you seven things to remember. Seven things to remember when things get hard. Seven things to remember when things are going well, many of which will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, and I encourage you to read both of those chapters later when you have opportunity. Number one, you are not alone. We are praying for you. We love you. We will support you. We are sending you. You are not alone. If you have needs, you are obligated to let us know about them. And we are obligated to meet those needs as the Lord provides. Number two, you have this ministry by God's mercy. It is God's mercy in your life that you are His people. It's God's mercy in your life that He is sending you to Nicaragua. And it's God's mercy in your life that He is using you to share the gospel with those in Nicaragua. It is for your good. So remember that when times are hard. It is for your good that you are there, and it is for God's glory. So in the tough times, do not lose heart. Number three, pragmatism is not a Christian philosophy. The ends do not justify the means. Just because something may work, something that you figure out may bring a crowd or draw a big group of people, that does not mean that God approves of it. We at the Gathering Church charge you to spread God's message by God's means and in God's ways. Number four, the power of the gospel is in the message, not the messengers. Do not promote yourselves in Nicaragua, but see to it that when people look at you, they do not think about all the good things that Luke and Courtney have done, but see to it that they know that the power that is being used to accomplish whatever is accomplished is for God's glory and His glory alone. Number five, remember that it is the love of Christ that controls you. It is why you are going. Loving God and loving your neighbor is why you are going. And so you must no longer regard anyone, whether they are rich or poor, wise or ignorant. You must not regard them according to the flesh. You must always look at them with an eye on eternity, with an eye to seeing them stand before the Lord and giving an account for their lives. Number six, remember that you are God's ambassadors. In Jesus Christ, God has reconciled the world to Himself. And now God has chosen before the foundations of the world to use you to make His appeal to the people that you come into contact with in Nicaragua. And number seven, Satan has darkened the minds of those who refuse to glorify God. Go to Nicaragua with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your message is that for anyone who will repent of their sins and trust in Christ, God has made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that all who trust in Him might become the righteousness of God. That is what this church is charging you to take to Nicaragua and nothing else. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great mercy in Luke and Courtney's lives. And Lord, we not only think of them, but we think of their family. We think of little Harper, their mom and dad, their grandparents. And Father, the great trial that this must feel to them. Lord, we ask for your comfort. Lord, we ask that you would help them to see their children and their grandchild no longer as just theirs, but as arrows that you have given them to shoot out into the world for the sake of your kingdom and your glory. Help them, Lord, when it is difficult, and help Luke and Courtney when it is difficult to remember that their lives, their time on this earth is not just for them, it's not for their pleasure. It is by your grace that they have those things, but their time is for your glory. And Lord, we ask for little Harper in this time, these years in Nicaragua, that you would use this in her life in a merciful way to draw her to yourself, to give her the gifts of repentance and faith. And Lord, obviously, we not only ask for this for little Harper, but also for everyone that they will come into contact with in Nicaragua. We ask that you would increase their influence, that you would multiply their witnessing, and Lord, that you would give them fruit while they're there. And Father, help them to never forget that they cannot measure the fruit by just what they see, but it may be fruit that they never see. It may be fruit that is grown and someone else picks 100 years from now. So Lord, give them that mindset as they go. Father, help us as a church to stand behind them, to pray for them, to write them, to call them, to visit them, to send them the resources that they need. Lord, help us. We ask that you would provide for this church, that we could help provide for Luke and Courtney. Lord, we lift all these things to you and ask for your mercy in all of these situations. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we begin to sing this next song, I pray that we would take advantage of this time to pray and reflect on not just what Luke and Courtney are doing, but why they're doing that and the promises that our Lord has given. So as we begin to sing, just spend the next few moments in prayer. You're welcome to sing along. We just want to use this time for prayer and reflection, to lift up Luke and Courtney and Harper as well. In the valley, oh God, you're near. In the quiet, oh God, you're near. In the shadow, oh God, you're near. Sing this, let us understand that height nor depth nor anything else can pull us away from our Lord. We are joined as one by his blood, and that is why we can proudly send them out. Even though they will be missed, we are still able to share with them in these times, for it is what the Lord is calling them to do, and we stand behind them in full support. Apart, we are joined as one by your blood. Hope will rise as we become more than conquerors through the one who loves the world. High nor death nor anything else could pull us apart. Joined as one by your blood. church, let us sing Hive Nor Depth. Hive nor depth, nor anything else could pull us apart. We are joined as one by your blood. Hope will rise as we become more than conquerors through one who loved the world. Church, let us sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God reigns, for he is worthy. And in these moments, we can still look to him and say, Lord, though we don't understand every aspect of why or the timing, we can still say that you are worthy. And Lord, we pray that we too may be able to follow in what you are calling us to do. So church, let us just sing together, hallelujah, hallelujah, our God reigns. Again. Hallelujah. 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 Our God reigns. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, we do want to sing this one in the native tongue of Spanish that Luke and Courtney are going to be familiar with. So let's just sing this together. It's Alleluia, 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 Dios es Rey, our God is King. So let's just sing that together in Spanish if we can. If you can't, English is fine as well, because with one voice we will sing to our God. So let us worship him now. Time together. Alleluia. 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 Dios es rey. Amen, amen. Church, before we close out tonight, let us sing this last song together, that all glory be to Christ. That there is nothing that will last that he is not blessed from his hands. For he is worthy of our complete and total surrender. And we pray that Luke and Courtney would carry this on with them as well, that all glory be to Christ. On that day, the great I am. When on the day, the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. Amen, church. Let us gather in prayer. Dear Father, again, we just are overwhelmed with the grace that you have shown Luke and Courtney. Lord, you've given them a very specific mission to go to a very specific people, Lord. And we pray not only for safety, Lord, but even more importantly, we pray that you would be famous, Lord, that they would understand their commission and that they would walk, Lord, in your will, in your word, daily seeking you, Lord. And when difficult times come, may we be here, Lord. May we be ready to help serve them and equip them, all for your glory, for your people, and for your namesake, Father. We are so overwhelmed by your grace and by your mercy, Lord, that you would raise us from the dead. You would breathe new life into us, Lord. And that this passion to continue teaching, taking these truths into the world, Lord, Lord, that would fuel them, Lord, but that you would sustain them while they are in Nicaragua, Father. We just love you so much. We thank you for the blessing that Luke and Courtney have been, not only here at the Gathering Church, but in each of our lives. Lord, they've always been available, whether it's to help build a wall or cook a meal or just have someone to lift you up in prayer. They were always there for us, Lord, and we want to remember what they have done and understand that with one voice, we want to say with them, Father, that you are worthy of everything that we have. Lord, you've placed all of this within us, and you are perfecting this work within us, and we are just so thankful for you, Father. We love you, and in your name we pray. Amen.